Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Hal Opino's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro-broadcasts and webcasts heard around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. All right, it is 1:02 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is 106 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, mostly sunny with 13% humidity. We have a bunch of interesting articles lined up today. We will start with two from the Anti-Defamation League. We will get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors.
Calling all the clans together, calling all the clans together, calling all the clans together, brothers come a running. Calling south and north together, calling west and east together, calling all the clans together, brother come running. Can't afford to be a bit of sleeping. Can't you see the reaper reaping? Brothers come a running. Never mind the shells are flying. Never mind the dead and dying. Can't you hear the piper piping? Brother come a running. Come a running fast. Come a running hard. Running for all you worth. Come a running through the gates of hell itself and let the devil take the hindmost.
We're gonna be
calling all the clan together. Calling all the clan together.
Calling all the clan together.
Brothers come running.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
All right, folks. Yesterday we had a series of technical difficulties. Hopefully we're all squared away today. But if at any point you guys want to come up, just go ahead and interrupt me and let me know that the call-in line's working, or just interject with your thoughts and opinions. Whatever you got. All right, so we're going to start with a couple articles from the Anti-Defamation League, everybody's favorite. This one caught my attention. I sent it to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion today. The article was written on the 3rd of August, 2017. It's titled, Anti-Semitism Used in Attack Against National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster. So I went ahead and highlighted some interesting stuff here, and we're just going to read that instead of the whole article, because it's got a whole bunch of the, you know, left-right bullshit in it. So let's get right to the meat. The Garrison cartoon features a stage with McMaster and retired General David Petraeus as puppets being manipulated by left-leaning philanthropist George Soros. Perceived as a major villain across the far-right spectrum in the United States and the subject of many conspiracy theories. Soros, who is Jewish, is himself depicted in the cartoon with puppet strings being guided by a greenish hand and arm labeled Rothschilds, the name of a Jewish family long involved in the banking industry. The thrust of the cartoon is clear. McMaster's is merely a puppet of a Jewish conspiracy. So, what the article is basically getting to is just the mere fact that there's a hand reaching out from behind the curtain and it says Rothschilds on the sleeve. They're calling that, in and of itself, anti-Semitism. So just because you're being criticized in Jewish, in and of itself, is now considered to be anti-Semitism. Okay, I highlighted one more paragraph. The anti-Semitic theme of the Garrison cartoon is impossible to miss, and individuals on social media complained about it. That may be why, after the image's debut on the McMaster Leaks website, Cernovich subsequently replaced it with a cropped version that excised the Rothschild reference while keeping the Soros as puppet master imagery, making the anti-Semitic nature of the cartoon somewhat less overt.
Oy vey.
So again, just the mere mention of the Rothschild banking dynasty, the Rothschild banking family, according to the ADL, is being anti-Semitic. Okay, so we're going to jump over to our second article coming from the ADL. It was posted by yours truly today at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. This one is titled, Statement on Developments in the Case Against Perpetrator of Bomb Threats to Jewish Institutions. Okay, I found this threat, or excuse me, this article to be quite interesting. I mentioned, I'm not sure when it was, a couple days ago, I mentioned how that politicians will blow up their own polling centers and that the IDF will create an act of terrorism to get some sort of a political agenda through. And this article kind of backs up what I was saying and parallels it. In fact, I think it's kind of a damage control piece. So we'll get started on it. Statement on developments in the case against perpetrator of bomb threats to Jewish institutions. New York, New York, August 8th, 2017, the Anti-Defamation League, ADL, today issued the following statement after developments in the case of the Israeli-American teenager Michael Kadar, who was accused of carrying out a series of bomb threats against Jewish community institutions this year. So to me, folks, it seems like one of their little operatives got caught. The reports allege that Kadar sold his services on an online platform that was shut down by U.S. authorities last month. The new information does not change our view that the bomb threats against Jewish institutions were anti-Semitic and harmful to the communities targeted, no matter who placed the calls or why the calls were placed. The outcome was the same. They instilled fear and disrupted communities across the nation, across the country. ADL will continue to take this issue very seriously and look forward to working with our law enforcement partners on any new developments. According to ADL research, since January 2017, 167 bomb threats have targeted Jewish institutions across the country, including Jewish community centers, schools, synagogues, and ADL offices in New York, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and Boston. So what do you think about that, folks? So again, at any time, if the callers can hear me, go ahead, unmute, interrupt me, let me know everything's working. We'll continue. Let's see. This next one is coming from the Jerusalem Post. It was sent to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion by yours truly today. And it's titled, Bitcoin to become to become first electronic currency specifically for Jews.
Oy vey. Oy vey. Oy gewalt.
Okay, a Russian businessman is behind the idea for the currency, which aims to simplify connections between Jewish communities. Yeah, how about launder money? That's what it sounds like it's there for to me. Coming soon to your community may be the first ever international Jewish currency dreamed up by a Russian entrepreneur. Bitcoin, an electronic cryptocurrency based off the idea of Bitcoin, is set to launch in September. Businessman Vyacheslav, wow, is that really a name? Semenchuk? I'm not going to try to pronounce that how that looks. The brains behind the operation told Russian media outlet RT that he and his partners are in talks with almost 100 trading platforms discussing the prospects of the currency's ability to be used for purchasing. The currency will be based on the value of the U.S. dollar, with each Bitcoin token available for $1. The plan is to initially issue 100 million Bitcoins. The company hopes that they will be able to circulate up to 1.5 billion in the first 2 years. While anyone can purchase tokens, the company will be managed by a council of six made up solely of Jewish representatives. The representatives will likely be prominent in both public and private sectors, though there is no word yet as to a planned demography of the leaders.
Kikecoin.com.
Kikecoin, is that what you called it?
That's right.
Yeah, that's got a good ring to it. Kikecoin.
And don't forget the ADLs to defamation league, but the defecation league.
Yeah, that's what Mary said on one of her comments a couple weeks back. She was like, yeah, they're the she says, I belong to the ADL, the anti-defecation league, fighting Jew shit everywhere. So yeah, they're completely full of shit, and their propaganda is just getting more obvious in my opinion. But I got kind of a kick out of it that they want to create the Bitcoin. Oy. Okay, so let's see. Where did I leave off? Okay, as the currency is aimed specifically at Jewish communities, there will be an automation option so that trading may take place on Shabbat. Now, I'm not quite sure what that means, so if there's any callers that know what Shabbat is, feel free to let us know. Oh, well, it says kind of says in the next sentence, when the handling of money is prohibited by Jewish law. Okay, so apparently on the Shabbat, the Bitcoin will shut it down and make it so you can't trade. Huh. I wonder if we can use that to our advantage and get a deal if we make our purchases on Shabbat. Man, I don't like this guy's name. Semenchuk told reporters that the initial BitBook for investments has been filled, meaning that the project is viable. Now, I don't really know enough about Bitcoin, but from my understanding, it seems like it's kind of a pyramid scheme. The people who get in at ground level make an astronomical amount of money for nothing, and everybody that's coming in after the fact is not really making much of anything. But I don't know. I don't know enough about it. Feel free to come up and correct me at any point. Okay.
It's great as long as the power stays on.
Yeah, and as long as you can find somebody that's willing to trade for it. I have seen several websites that were willing to trade for it, but in my personal experience, the strongest proponents I've met who are advocating Bitcoin don't even have any. Yet they're trying to push the idea on me to go buy Bitcoin. I'm like, nah, I'd rather have more bullets and more beans. Okay, so this next article is coming from the Washington Examiner. It was sent to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, posted for discussion by yours truly today. It's titled DHS, Department of Homeland Security, 23% of all federal prisoners are illegals, just 7 of 42,034 saved from deportation. So to me, I don't really believe any of the numbers coming out of the media and coming out of the establishment. Sometimes they're interesting to look at, but I always think of Orwell's 1984, where one day they lower the chocolate ration and then the next day they go ahead and raise it. So we might get an article tomorrow telling us that half the illegals are being released onto the streets, you know, with 2,000 bucks in their back pocket. So who knows? You know, you got to take all this stuff with a grain of salt. So nearly one quarter of all federal inmates are illegal immigrants, and virtually all are in deportation proceedings or already face removal orders, according to a new Homeland Security report. Hold on, I got a little pop-ups coming up here. The Justice Department's Bureau of Prisons, fulfilling a presidential executive order requiring transparency on prisoner immigration status, said that it houses 187,855 inmates, of which 42,034 are foreign-born. And again, that's about one quarter of the federal inmate population. The DHS report said that only 7 of the 42,034 have been granted deportation relief, according to DHS. Okay, so what if they were granted deportation aid and they just gave it a different title? So that in and of itself doesn't really tell me anything, because a couple weeks ago we were reading an article from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which says that they're putting together a team of pro bono legal representatives for immigrants detained in the Southeast United States. So there's programs going on to counter all of this deportation speculation that's going on. So let's continue here. 19,749, 46.9%, are aliens who have received final orders of removal. 21,121, 50.2%, are aliens who are under ICE investigation for possible removal. 1,157, 2.8%, are aliens whose cases are pending adjudication before an immigration judge in the Executive Office of Immigration Review, EOIR, and 7.00002% are aliens who have been granted relief. So if it's only 7, maybe they'll give us some examples of these 7 individuals. It doesn't seem like it would be very difficult for them to cover that story. I'd be curious why 7 people got, supposedly, a grant of relief. Homeland, which is interesting. They're calling Homeland Security Homeland for short now. Like they're a good buddy or a family member. If anything, they're your mortal enemy. Homeland also said that the U.S. Marshal Service has a similar breakdown in its cells. And we're not going to read those stupid numbers. But anyway, the Marshal Service is trying to spout the same old bullshit. According to experts, the percentage of prisoners who are illegal immigrants is down slightly, but it's still... but still remain a significant population. Yeah, 25%, if that's true, is a significant population. And I'll have to ask, is it really that difficult to find these people's status? And is it necessary to drag them 100, 200, 300 miles away from that border to figure out their status? And how much does it cost the taxpayer every day that these people are housed? You know, if you can, if you can't prove beyond a reasonable doubt that one of these people... is an American national, which should be relatively easy for every American-born person to do. You know, give them the boot. Just kick them right back over the border, take their biometrics. What's the point in housing them, and what's the point in getting a team of lawyers to argue about it? You committed a crime, and you're lucky that all it is that's happening to you is you're getting your ass tossed back over the border. So anyway, where do we leave off here? Jessica McVaughn, Director of Policy Studies for the Center of Immigration Studies, said for a long time, the number of non-citizens serving time in federal prison has been disproportionate to their share of the population. This is because a disproportionate number are border-related crimes, such as human smuggling and drug trafficking, and some are immigration offenders. These crimes are most often committed by citizens of other countries, and these numbers show why we need to control our borders. Under Trump, she added, the percentage is likely to go higher. I guess... to me, Trump is no damn different than Obama. The only thing that actually changed was the media's rhetoric. There may be a slightly different set of criminals coming in trying to grab a piece of the pie, but as far as what's being passed on a legislative basis, as far as what's being compromised on, or as far as what the Republican Party just can't manage to get their shit together about, it seems like it's the same old seamless transition, just like we had between Bush and Obama.
I'm trying to get over that they actually have an agency called Center for Immigration Studies. Shouldn't this person be fired? I mean, how long has she got to sit on her ass and tell us that we're fucked?
Well, I think it was maybe a month or two ago, and it was pinned to the top of FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for a while, but we had this big, long list of different agencies in the federal bureaucracy, not including the states and the local municipalities. And this list just went on forever, and it was just absolutely mind-blowing. It is a utterly top-heavy system. It is thoroughly disgusting. It is eating out our substance. It needs to be stopped, and all of these people in these nice government cushy jobs are not going to let go of their positions without a fight. They want their check, they want their money, and they're not going to give up anytime soon. And they'll go all the way till the very end before they decide to abandon their posts, and they'll probably jump ship and try to come right over to our side when it starts looking like we're winning. So it is what it is. What's the best way to go about changing it? I'm not quite sure. This does not mean that non-citizens are more criminal than Americans, but it does mean that they clearly are not less criminal. Well, if they overstayed their visa and they made an illegal border crossing, that would mean all of those individuals were criminal, so they would be more criminal than the average American citizen, or whatever the term they used is. And that there are certain crimes that are most likely associated with non-citizens, blah, blah, blah. No. Well, that's about enough for that article. Okay. So, all right. So I think we got time to get into this. I sent this article to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com today, posted for discussion. It's coming from the New York Post, and it's titled, Teacher of the Year Who Hosted Teen Sex Parties Goes to Prison. A former high school teacher who hosted sex parties for teenage boys included a bros night that featured a front door sign urging them to get naked. has been sentenced to 10 years in prison. Jared Anderson, who was honored as Teacher of the Year at Judson High School in Texas just 2 months prior to his arrest in March 2016, pleaded guilty to 4 counts of sexual performance by a child and 2 counts of indecency with a child by exposure as a part of a plea deal about 1 month ago. Attorney Eduardo Garcia told the San Antonio Express News. Anderson, 29, taught English at the high school in the San Antonio suburb of Converse for about a year. Police said 2 victims told authorities that Anderson had been hosting parties for several months at his home that involved sexually charged games with multiple boys. Okay, I just want to stop for a second and reference back to the show that I did on the on 7/19/27, where I interviewed my friend Carrie and her daughter Spencer. Her English teacher had her reading a rap song by Ice Cube called "Who's the Mac," where it was explicitly talking about sex trafficking and pimping. So, and then an article sent in by Carrie for the same exact school district where this happened came through to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, posted by me for discussion on August 3rd. And this one was titled "Florence Man Indicted for Videotaping His Sex Abuse of Children." And it's very graphic if I were to go through and read it. But this gentleman was a janitor at that same school in Florence, Florence K through 8. So this whole thing with teachers and indecency, it's very widespread. And you have to be very careful about what's going on in public school. If you have children in public school, you got to keep your eyes open. You got to keep your ears open. You got to keep the dialogue going with your children so this stuff doesn't get out of control. And so your children don't become a victim and have a life of suffering potentially because of it. Okay, let's see, where were we? Anderson's arrest led school officials to recall yearbooks in order to remove a page that cited him as Teacher of the Year just 2 months earlier, the Express News reports. Now, you tell me, how can this gentleman put on multiple sexually charged parties with multiple boys and not get caught the first or second time?
Free drugs.
Yeah, there's got to be something going on. I mean, kids are not good at keeping secrets. Information gets around. People gossip. There's no reason. If the teachers were doing their jobs and the administration was doing their jobs, they should have caught wind of some of this information and been able to put a stop to it right after the first incident. And this gentleman should have probably just been straight up arrested for what he was doing. You shouldn't be having your students at your house unsupervised at all anyways. It's not appropriate. Just like it's probably not a good idea to date somebody from work, it's definitely not a good idea to bring children from the school that you work at to your personal private home. So these parents got to be idiots, you know, or they're not paying any damn attention. Go ahead.
This makes him eligible for mayor or maybe to run for governor.
Well, sure, let's just make him ambassador to Germany or something. It'd be perfect. And on that note, we've reached our bottom of the hour break, folks. We're going to continue this article when we get back and take more of your phone calls. We'll see you in about 8 minutes.
Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation. triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
What I hate is a statesman speaking out of both sides of his mouth. What I hate is a war still going on down in the South. And what I live for is a chance to change a little bit of it all. What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way. What I live for is a chance to change and be everything I can be. What I love is someone bright enough to see. What I hate is what I hate, and I always will. What I hate is someone mad enough to kill. What I love is someone with a heart that's really good. Now we can't change the whole wide world. Maybe we can change our neighborhood.
Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. Oh, okay. It is 1:39 Arizona Mountain Time. And that was Merle Haggard with What I Hate coming out of the break. Okay, so we left off on an article from the New York Post titled Teacher of the Year Who Hosted Teen Sex Parties Goes to Prison. And I'm just going to start off with the last article that I read. Anderson's arrest led school officials to recall yearbooks in order to remove a page that cited him as Teacher of the Year just 2 months earlier, the Express News reports. He was later indicted on several counts of sexual performance by a child and was placed on administrative leave by school officials before being fired. Okay. So that's interesting. Administrative leave. That's exactly what happened to that gentleman who did the homework assignment on the Ice Cube Max song in Florence K-8. Anderson hosted one party at his home on February 12, 2016 that he called a bros night with seven boys ranging from 15 to 17 years old. A San Antonio police spokesman told the newspaper. A sign on the door of the home read, "The last one to get naked has to get the first dare." So why the hell do you want to get naked with a bunch of teenage boys? What is wrong? Okay. All of the boys eventually got undressed before Anderson coerced them into lewd conduct, WOAI reports. Anderson, who admitted hosting the parties at the time of his arrest, was also a group leader at a local church where all seven of the victims were members, according to KSAT. He wanted to be accepted by them, and so he was willing to do whatever it took, church counselor Ivan Valasoros testified during Anderson's sentence hearing Monday. I'm pretty sure a bunch of heterosexual boys don't really want to get naked and do a bunch of truth and dare stuff. Unless you're talking about a bunch of gay boys, then maybe, yeah, that might be possible. But I'm pretty sure when you want to fit in with a group of boys that you're mentoring, getting naked and playing truth or dare is not the way to win their favor. No, this guy's a freaking pervert. How could anybody stand in his defense? I don't care if you worked at a church or not. That's the type of places where these sickos end up. Garcia had asked a judge for deferred adjudication, a form of probation, but prosecutors argued he was a horrible candidate for that type of sentencing. My only recourse is to give you 10 years or give you probation, Judge Steve Hilbid said, and frankly, sir, I don't believe you deserve deferred adjudication. Anderson faced up to 20 years in prison, the Express News reports. In addition to 10 years in prison, he was fined $9,000, according to court records. So chances are this gentleman's going to get out, and he's still going to be a pedophile. He's still going to be a pervert, but now he's going to be trained in crime. He's going to have a degree in crime after 10 years. Okay. So I got a kick out of this one. This was posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com by Enemy of the State for discussion. The title is Gym Owner Makes No Apologies for No Cops Sign. This is the kind of stuff I like to read. My scrolling feature is running away from me. A shocking and vulgar sign posted in front of a local business in Atlanta made it clear no cops are allowed inside. 11 Alive's Faith Abubi, that's how it's spelled, talked to the owner, Faith Abubi, talked to the owner of EAV Barbell Club in East Atlanta Village, in the East Atlanta Village neighborhood, who is not making any apologies for putting up the sign, which has since been taken down. It was really just the vulgarity in that sign, and that seems to bring it out for people, said Jim Chambers, the owner of the gym. While the sign is no longer plastered on the front door, Chambers said he plans to put up a new one without the foul language and still stands by the message it conveyed. So I'm not seeing the whole picture when I look at it here, but it says correctly accept CrossFit culturism. No fucking cops is what I think it reads. We've had a policy stated no cop policy since we opened, and we also don't open membership to active members of military, he said. And good for them. I think we should boycott. And if you don't believe in what the military and you don't believe in what the police are doing, then what better thing to do than boycott them? You know, you're completely within the moral high ground to boycott individuals and boycott institutions. Okay. For Chambers, a lifelong political activist, the sign and policy is a political statement outside a multi-use space which serves as a gym, community gathering spot, and meeting place for activists in the metro area. He says groups who work out there are generally minorities who are uncomfortable with the presence of law enforcement agents. The Atlanta Police Department would not comment on the policy, but told 11 Alive News, were we to respond to an emergency there, the sign would not stop us from lawfully doing our job. Whatever. Yeah, that's an easy bullshit statement to just throw out there. It doesn't mean that's going to be true. Doesn't mean you're going to treat them the same way that you would treat any other person. Some blue-haired cop sucker.
Bullshit.
Anyway. What happens if Chambers or anyone inside the gym needs the police? Chambers says they never have and won't ever need the help of officers. Lawyers say because law enforcement officers are not a protected class under the laws, only the courts can decide if EAV Barbell Club is violating any anti-discrimination laws. Now, it seems like you might be giving them ideas, and if my memory serves me correct, they're trying to make law enforcement a politically protected class. Let's see, is that how they termed it? Yeah, a protected class under the law. Okay, so let's see, let's continue on. Okay, so we have another article posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion by Katie. This one was posted today, and it's titled, Police Are Killing Citizens at Highest Rate Ever While Government and Media Ignore It. Well, there's nothing surprising there. Sometimes it's not what they say, it's what they don't say. Police in the United States are breaking records in 2017 by killing a record number of the same people they claim to protect and serve. And there is no change in sight under the current administration. In 2017 alone, police have killed 746 people in the U.S., according to the Killed by Police database, which puts this year on pace to become the deadliest year on record. In contrast, in the first 7 months of 2016, police killed 714 people. The number was slightly higher in 2015 with 725, and it was noticeably lower in 2014 with 663 killed, and in 2013 with 353 killed. It's amazing that you got it's going up by 100%, that the number is doubling between 2013 and 2017. We got a doubling. And it obviously isn't necessarily a Trump thing if it happened last year either. So this goes beyond the whole left-right paradigm now, doesn't it? Okay, one case from this year that received a host of media attention occurred on July 15th when Justin DeMond, a 40-year-old Australian woman, was shot and killed by police in Minneapolis. Yeah, we all know about that. We don't need to waste our time reading about that incident. In addition to the increase in police shootings, the U.S. is also under a new administration, which has expressed overwhelming support for all of the characteristics that lead to an empowered police state. Now, to me, all I see is a change in rhetoric. Obama loved the police state, and right before Obama was, after Obama was elected, before they put him into office, there was a gentleman at the BART station in Oakland on New Year's who is shot in the back while handcuffed by a multitude of police who were holding him down, and one police picked up his gun, set it back down, picked it right back up, and went bah bah and shot him right through his back. Okay, now this was filmed from multiple angles. This had hundreds of witnesses. Okay, there was little blips about it in the mainstream media, a little bit of coverage. Barack Obama had nothing to say on the subject and never brought up Oscar Grant's name throughout the 8 years where he was in office. Or if he did, he didn't bring it up often enough for me to catch it. And my belief of why this was the case, because this was obvious, so obviously an abuse and just straight up murder, the reason that it was ignored is because the police state was to be grown and fostered under Obama, but the leftist and democratic propaganda bullshit revolves around the police being bad. But unless you want to take guns away or enforce civil rights, the police are bad. So they can't, when the police are so obviously to blame and the individual who was being killed was absolutely doing nothing wrong and there really was no question of whether he did something wrong, the media will shove it under the rug. But then when there's a questionable black individual where there's some sort of a question about what may have happened, or the individual had an extensive criminal background or was involved in some sort of a crime before the incident took place, these are the news stories that you get plastered all over the media. There's exceptions to all that, but generally speaking, what I'm saying holds true. So the fact that Oscar Grant was ignored under the Obama administration told me eight and a half years ago, that the police state was to be grown under Obama. So The difference is you got a right-wing fascistic type of rhetoric, okay? Like I said, I don't see a big change in what's actually going on a policy level. But as far as the rhetoric, you have the right-wing fascistic rhetoric going on right now, which fully and wholly embraces the police state, embraces the military-industrial complex in Israel, and the rest of it. Therefore, they are hitting their propaganda from a different angle where they can be more open about their growing and fostering and love of the police state. Okay, so where the hell did I leave off here? Okay, so yeah, new administration, power police state, blah, blah, blah. In addition to the National District Attorneys Association Conference in July 2017, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions promised to increase the federal government's civil asset forfeiture programs. Yeah, I'm pretty sure y'all don't need another fucking penny of ours. Y'all have stolen so much of our money. You've stolen and wasted so much of our time. You stopped so much progress, so much green technology, so much of our community. You've just squashed it and you've destroyed it. You don't deserve anything but death, you fucking traitors. So excuse my language, but you know what? When I feel impassioned, I'm going to say what I want to say. In addition, we hope to issue this week a new directive on asset forfeiture, especially for drug traffickers, Sessions said, with care and professionalism. Oh, God. With care and professionalism, we plan to develop policies to increase forfeitures. No criminal should be allowed to keep the proceeds of their crime. Adopted forfeitures are the appropriate, as is sharing with our partners. Fuck you. That's all I got to say to that. You fucking cowards. You got to hide behind an army of idiot fucking goons. You got to hide behind all of your policies. You got to restrict our access to weapons. You got to restrict our access to the media. We are the fucking media. Just so you can have this power. Your power, you know what? You're a freaking paper tiger. You may have the power to destroy, but you sure shit don't have the power to create anything but misery. And that's exactly what you're putting the American people and the people of the world through. And you're doing it on our dollar and you're doing it on our backs. And you're a worthless parasite and you should be ground into the dust. That's all you deserve. Maybe publicly humiliated and chop off your head and kick it around like a soccer ball. Isn't that what they did back in the day? And then maybe stick it up on a pike when we're done. Let it dry out in the sun for a few years so we can laugh at your dumbass. Anyway, President Trump shared his thought on the topic of police brutality during a speech at the Suffolk County Police Department in New York on July 28th. He encouraged officers to be rough on suspects and those surrounding him by clapping and cheering. Yeah, I think they're rough enough already. I think I've seen him give enough people concussions. I think I've seen him break enough people's necks and enough people's backs. And I've seen them choke people to death enough damn times. I mean, none of this war on drugs shit makes any of this acceptable. And I'm of the opinion that the deeper you look into this stuff, a lot of this gang culture is being created because of Hollywood, because of the CIA. They're the ones foistering it. They're the ones making it look cool. They're the ones making sure they get the drugs from Colombia and South America and Afghanistan and Israel, like the ecstasy coming into freaking Canada. Anyway. While Trump's comments were in reference to gang members, it should be noted that the same treatment he is advocating is the same type of treatment that led to the death of Freddie Gray, a 25-year-old man who died in police custody in April 2015 after suffering a high-energy impact from his time riding in the back of a police transit van. 2015 was a year in which 725 were killed in the first 7 months and 1,216 killed overall. It marked a noticeable increase in police killings in the first 7 months when compared to 2014 with 663 killings and 2013 with 353 killings. While the increase in police killings in 2017 will be written off and justified by many, it is important to remember that the longer the public sits back and does nothing, especially when key government officials are sharing such inflammatory rhetoric, the more likely it is that the numbers will continue to increase. Well, you know what? If they're shooting at you, shoot back at them. You know what I'm saying? If they kick in your door, don't even hesitate. We all know that you're not going to get fair treatment within the court system, that there is no law, there is no justice. If they want to make an example out of you, they will. If they want to ruin your life, they will. If they want to kill you before the court case even goes on, they'll do it right in the cell. You know, the less connections you have, the less public you are, the less likely you're going to get any kind of a fair trial whatsoever. Unless you got gobs and mountains of money to throw at the problem and you want to apologize to all your enemies, you're never going to have any success. So I'll tell you what, folks, if you're on the internet and you're looking at these types of things, if you're listening to my voice right now, you're marked, and there's no reason to be afraid about that. Why? Because we outnumber every police force. We outnumber the military. We outnumber the federal government. We outnumber all those pricks in Washington, D.C. They cannot come against us and have very much success. They have to do everything behind the scenes. They do have to do everything with propaganda because they do not have the power to meet us head on. And they have to maintain the illusion of benevolence. They need to look like the problem solver, the protector, the good guy. And because they have to operate in that scope, in many ways, their hands are tied. Until they can get enough divide and conquer going on in the United States to where another civil war would be possible, or something comparable to what we're seeing in the Ukraine could be possible, all they're regulated to is doing this police state horseshit. They do not have the political capital and the divide and conquer to start launching missiles at cities in the United States as of now. They can always do some sort of false flag attack. Things aren't really going their way. They can use some sort of a dirty bomb application. They could drop an actual nuke. They could use some sort of biological warfare. Or they could use some sort of fake event and then just have confusion in the media and start to lock stuff down and make stuff happen and do it in such a way that they cause us to have confusion and hesitate. At the same time, it's possible they could bring in foreign militaries and all that, but outside of those things that I just mentioned, they have no political capital and not enough divide and conquer to commit open warfare against us in the United States. So expect everything to be more behind the scenes. Expect them to be coming after you in cowardly ways, which would include raiding your house at 4 a.m. So what I would say to all of you listening is be ready for that raid. Have your dogs set up, have your doors secured, as in increasing the strength of the hardware, the strength of the door frames, have your motion sensors, you can put in window films that make it difficult to break into the windows, you can put up bars on your windows, you can put mirrors in strategic corners of your house so you can see around, you can make a game plan to shoot through certain parts of the walls and certain parts of the doors to where you can start to get bullets on target before they can even see you. Okay, there's something called the Alamo concept, and what that basically means is that the defender has the advantage. It's your property. You know every angle. You know where everything's located. You know where you are. You generally know where they're coming from and what corners they're going to be turning around. This gives you, it's almost like a 5-to-1 ratio when you look at how many potential kills you can get when you are the defender versus the offender. It is always best to stay in position and not move and force the offender to come to you. That way they're making all the noise, they're making the target indicators, so on and so forth. Then you need the right tool for the job, you need the right, whether it be 12-gauge or .308, you need something with some ass behind it, so where even if you hit a bulletproof vest, you can still knock them down and hit them a couple more times until you take them out. So I don't mean to get real serious on that, but these are the types of things that we need to be expecting. These are the types of things we need to be ready for. They are never going to come at us straight up. They're going to come at us behind the scenes and surreptitiously. And on that note, we got to end the program for today. I appreciate everybody being here, and we'll be right back at it again tomorrow. Enjoy your day.